That song says, to Canaan's land, I'm on my way. And the last verse says, I'm on my way to Canaan's land. You know, I hope that is the thoughts and the hearts of each and every one that's here today, that this life is nothing but a short journey. We're told by, I believe, the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 11 that Abraham said he was nothing more than a pilgrim and a stranger here upon the earth. That literally means that whatever you call home is really not home. You're not at home, and you never will be at home until you close your eyes in death and awaken in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sometimes we live on this earth as though this is going to be our eternal home. But it's here today, and it's gone tomorrow. Our life is a journey. It's a journey that has many ups and downs. We have valleys in which we go through and mountaintops which we are on at times and everything in between. But life is certainly a journey that we all take, and it's in this journey that we have hope of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that song talked about a place that you and I will be or hope to be one day when we pass from this life. And as fast as time is going, that won't be long for any of us, really. I mean, we think time is long, but I tell you, every time I wake up, another year's passed by. We speak of a place known as heaven. Canaan's land is called here, a place where our eternal rest will take place in the presence of Jesus Christ forever. But you know what's on the minds and the concerns of most people is, how am I going to deal with today and tomorrow and all that I'm going through? Sometimes we live as though life is going to linger under these circumstances and according to these conditions from now on. But we have a hope that's greater than that, a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and a hope that one day, whatever ails you, whatever trouble you have, whether it be a sickness or an affliction or a financial problem or a relational problem or whatever it is, one day it'll be no more. That's why we believe in a God that never changes, because he gives us a hope of living in a place where we'll never change. We're changing now. Whether we like it or not, we're aging. We have different circumstances, different challenges to face each and every day. Sometimes we're in the bottom of the valley. We really are. Life is not easy. Life can be a great struggle, and it can be very difficult. And I have talked so much about preaching Jesus and talking about Jesus and trusting in Jesus as I did last weekend. Today I want to talk about sailing with Jesus, if you would. I mean, as though we were sailing in a ship over the stormy seas of life. And we talked last week about putting all our trust in Jesus Christ and nothing else. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of whatever's going on in your life, do you really trust and believe in Jesus? Do you believe his promises? You know, when I read some verses in the Bible, I have to admit to you, I have a hard time believing them. I do. You know, coming out of my mouth, maybe you say that. But let's read a verse over here in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20. It says, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. You know, I'd like to take a show of hands of how many people literally believe they can move a mountain. Their faith can be so strong that they could literally say in a mountain, be you removed into yonder place, and it would be removed. Makes us think about the strength of our own faith and how much unbelief dwells in us, even though we're God's children. Unbelief is a sin. You know, Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, he said, if thou canst believe, if you can really believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Do you believe that? Sometimes it's hard to believe. You know, we as creatures, and there are individuals in this world that have a hard time believing in God because they can't wrap their arms around God. They can't embrace God in such a manner that they can have hard-nosed evidence. But by the eye of faith, we believe in God. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You have something that you hope for in this life. It's beyond what you can see. But the evidence that the God who created those things and give you that hope exists in the creation that you and I see every day. The beautiful stars, the blue sky in the heaven. Last week we spent a week in Colorado, and all you got to do is look at those beautiful mountains covered in snow to realize there is a God in heaven that has given us a hope. Have you ever stared out over the vastness of an ocean? To me, it blows my mind. I'll just tell you right now, I'm more taken by the ocean than anything in God's creation because of how great and big it is, I guess. Mountains are great and big, but when you get out on the ocean far enough, you can't see nothing but water in every direction. And it gives me this sense of feeling of how great and big and glorious God is. That's what I get from it. It's just an amazing thing to me. But as we go through life, believing and not believing is something that we need to deal with. And it can cause us many troubles. We're dealing with getting through the circumstances of life today. We all have afflictions and we all have trouble. But we're told to endure, that the trying of our faith worketh patience. Endurance. We're to endure the trials of affliction. They're more precious than gold or silver. The trial of your faith, as we're told in 1 Peter, is more precious than gold or silver. You know, we all consider gold and silver and the material things of this life to be extremely precious, but the Bible tells us, and the Lord of heaven tells us, that your faith and the trying of your faith is far more precious than any materialistic thing that you could own, any amount of money or gold or silver that you had in your pocket. Because that stuff is going to perish one day, but your faith is not. Now, think about this verse for just a moment. The disciples had came to Jesus. A man came to the disciples that had his son was vexed with the devil in Matthew chapter 17. And he came to his disciples, and the disciples couldn't cast out the devil. And Jesus said, then in verse 19, it says, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. I don't think we realize the power that we have in our life to believe. And the power in believing that Jesus Christ is who he said he is, and he'll do what he said he'll do. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us. Do you believe that? Do you believe that any given moment in your life, no matter what circumstance you're facing or challenge that lies ahead, that you can call upon the name of Jesus and Jesus will be there? You see, life is all about Jesus. You know, I think about our worship service, and I'll give you some enlightenment. We've talked to several ministers about it, you know. We believe in what's called a worship of simplicity. We sing, we try to pray, and we attempt to preach. And to some folks in today's world, it becomes boring to them. It really does. They're searching for something else. But I tell you what, I believe we have it right because Jesus Christ himself was one of the most simple men that ever walked the face of the earth. He was simple. If he had been in a lineup like you go down to the police station to look at, you would have never been able to pick him out from the criminal or any other average man. Jesus Christ was a simple man, and he had simple ways, and his message was very simple. Life is about me. It's in him. It's in Christ that I live and move and have my being. It's in Christ that I have hope of life today and eternal life tomorrow. It's in him that I breathe today, the breath of life. It's in him that I have a wife. It's in him that I have a child. It's in him that I have the blessing of congregating in a free land, in a free country, to worship him without being fearing molestation or persecution that's beyond anything you and I have ever known. It's in him that we live, move, and have our being. It's in him that we should live our life. Jesus Christ. You know, life is a journey, and it has its ups and downs. And if you're a child of God, I believe there's going to come a time that the Lord will get your attention, that he will bring you to the end of your way if you've strayed away. I know he did in my life, and I've known others that are the same way. But you know, we have a tendency to fall back into the old ways, the same ways that we once were, if we're not careful. And I think about the lessons that we're taught here, and try not to be too scattered. I want to move on to our text, keeping in mind that this faith that Jesus talked about was a faith that started out with the smallest of seed in the herbs. So small that you can't hardly see it with the eye. And yet it grew into this great plant, greater than all plants, where the fowl of the air lodged in the branches and actually took shade underneath the branches. I believe there's a picture in that for you and I under the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. But faith is something that begins small and it could grow into something enormous. And I believe it's the faith that we stand in need of so desperately. Last week we said we needed to trust in the Lord with everything that we have. Because we have a tendency as human beings to depend upon ourselves, to try to reason out and lean upon our own understanding, to hold ourselves up by what we know. But do you know that we don't understand other folks? And most of us don't understand ourselves, but the Lord does. And He tells us not to lean on our own understanding, but to lean on Him, to lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ, to put all your trust in Him. That's why He said, acknowledge Him in everything that you do in this life. Acknowledge Him. Trust Him. Have hope in Him. You know, we have hope in a lot of things in this life. We wish for a lot of things in this life that don't come to pass, but the Lord has never broken a promise. He's never not kept a promise. We can depend upon the Lord our God. Now, I want to move for a little while, and time may be relatively short this morning, but I want to look at Mark chapter 4. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, And he began to teach by the seaside, and there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so they entered into a ship and set in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine. He began to teach by parables. He began with the sower, parable of the sower. He told his disciples, if you don't understand this parable, how shall you understand any parable that I set forth? But he goes through a number of parables, and we get down to the 30th verse, and he says, whereunto shall ye liken the kingdom of God, or with what comparison shall we compare it? What would you liken the kingdom of God to? How would you compare it? Do you know that the kingdom of God is within you? Jesus Christ in you, the hope of glory. The kingdom of God is within you. He said, what would you liken it unto? Notice what he says here again. It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is sown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. Of all the herbs, it's the smallest seed that's planted. It's basically nothing. Now, Apostle Paul told us in Romans chapter 12 that God give to every man the measure of faith. He's talking about intrinsic faith, faith that does not increase or decrease, given to you when you were born of the Spirit of God. Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 5 that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. But we're told that faith can grow like the smallest of seed into something great and wondrous. It's the strength of God dwelling within us, the ability to go on in the midst of trials and afflictions. He says, but when it is sown, it groweth up and become greater than all the herbs and shooteth out great branches so that the fowls of the air may look a lodge under the shadow of it. You know, we need to be lodging under the shadow or the wings of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you would. Under His everlasting arms, above. He holds us in His arms. In His shadow, we need to rest in Jesus Christ. But He goes on, and we want to get to the rest of this, and He says, and with many such parables spake the word unto them as they were able to hear it. And without a parable spake He not unto them, and when they were alone, He expounded all things to His disciples. You know, in Luke chapter 24, it said He opened their understanding where they could understand the Scriptures. And He opened their understanding. That's what He done here with the disciples. You know, what God opens, no man can close. And what God closes, no man can open. We need God to open our understanding that we might understand the Scriptures. I can't open your understanding, but God can. And He did to the disciples. But to the multitudes, He taught in parables. We go on, and it says, and this is a part I want to get into this morning, if the Lord would be our helper for just a few minutes. And the same day, when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Jesus had taught, He had preached, He had been out there in that boat right off the edge of the shore all day long. And we find here that Jesus was a man. He was very man and very God. He was full man and full God. He was tired. He was worn out from that day of preaching and teaching all day long on the seashore. And come the evening time, the time that darkness approaches, He makes His statement unto His disciples. Let us pass over unto the other side. Friends, I believe that's a picture of the journey that we take here in the life. Let us. You notice Jesus didn't say, pass on over to the other side on your own. Get in that boat and row along, get wherever you can go. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. That tells me that during our journey here in this life, we don't need to be trying to make that journey alone. We need to make that journey alongside the Lord Jesus Christ. Hand in hand, we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. You know that song 109? Let us pass over. I find it very interesting. You know, life is a journey. And as that last song said, we're headed to Canaan's land, that place of eternal rest. But what we deal with and what bothers us and what we have that troubles us so often in life is the journey here upon this earth. It's those stormy seas that we're crossing on this voyage. They got into this boat and he said, let us pass over unto the other side. That's what you and I are doing right now. We're pilgrims and strangers and we're passing through life. This is not our home. Heaven is our home. God is our Father. And Jesus Christ is our elder brother. We're passing through this life. But we're running into troubles and struggles and difficulties. Every one of us have them. Sometimes they're very difficult. And we'll get into that as we go forward. But let us pass over to the other side with Jesus. Jesus didn't ask us to go alone. He said, let us pass over. Do this hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in a ship. And there were also with him other little ships. I found that very interesting. The disciples were with Jesus in this ship. They went there to even. They actually helped him into the ship. He was so weary and tired from preaching and teaching all day long in parables to the great multitudes on the seashore. There were little ships. You know, sometimes you think you're little. You think you're not really somebody. But in the eyes of God, the little ship's just as great as the big ship. I believe these were witnesses to the grace of Almighty God to us who are the little people, as you would say, those who are not seen of men, those who are publicans and sinners and are simple people just as Jesus Christ was. They were there witnessing what was about to take place, and it represents every one of God's children from the great least to the greatest. God didn't just deal with those he's gave the greatest gifts. He gives grace unto the humble, and he deals with every one of us in a very precious way. But we get to verse 37, and we notice something that I believe we can attest to in our life. Let us pass over to the other side speaks of our journey upon the sea, the stormy seas of life, if you would, until we cross to the other side in that eternal resting place called heaven in immortal glory. That's what we're at. We have to look forward to here. But he says, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship. I want to ask you today, has a great storm of wind ever arose in your life? I believe this is what this represents. You know, he didn't say a small storm. We spoke last week and on many occasions of the storms that come in our life. And there arose a great storm of wind. I can tell you right now, I've had a great storm of wind in my life, and I'm sure many of you have. And it goes on and it says, and the waves beat into the ship. In other words, the difficulties and the trials and the problems of that great wind, that great struggle that came in your life, it beats you down, it wears you out, it brings anxiety and struggles into your life. And sometimes you don't know if you can go on. Notice it says, so that it was now full, speaking of the water filling the ship, but the troubles that we endure because of this great plight of affliction or wind that comes upon us in life, and it comes up on every one of us. Sometimes we bring it upon ourselves, and sometimes it's just part of living out life. Jesus said, let us pass over unto the other side. I'm going to tell you, when you go it alone, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have a struggle. I'm not saying it's going to be easy with the Lord, but I tell you, you're going to have a great struggle and a great flight of affliction when you try to go it alone. He didn't say, you need to pass over this ocean on your own. Let us pass over to the other side. Hand in hand with Jesus, we walk each day, hand in hand along the way. I mean, we need Jesus every day, and I'm going to continue to preach our need for the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't just need him when we're born into this world and when we get old and we're laying upon our dying bed. We need him to deal with every problem. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct our steps. That's what we need. We need Jesus at our side. We need Jesus to be the captain of our ship. We don't need to be out there in some boat. You know, these little ships were out there. And they were going to be fully aware of the great wind that came. And they're going to be in need of the same blessing as the disciples that were in the ship with him were in need of. Great storms blow upon us in life. And if it hadn't blown upon you yet, I tell you, it's likely to. That's what this lesson is teaching us. We're in a vessel, and hopefully the vessel we're in, the Lord Jesus Christ is in. Hopefully we're walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, because our struggles here in this life are many. And you know, sometimes if you're like me and you get distracted from the Lord and you let the world become authoritative to you and a great part of your life, as much of my life was at one point in time, and I still struggle with that. It's easy to drift away. It's easy to not focus upon Jesus Christ and to realize that life is about Christ. It's not about me or you or your family or what you can obtain. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we talked about the simplicity of our worship service. You know, there are those out there that are seeking a feeling and they're seeking fulfillment in life that they cannot get. But Jesus Christ was a simple man. His ways were very simple. All he asked us to do is to come in here to sing. You know, he says, as we begin our song service, he doesn't ask you to sing a beautiful song like some gifted singer. He says it's a sacrifice. What more could you want to do than come in and sing for 30 minutes? The Lord says, that's a sacrifice with your lips unto him. Don't you want to make a sacrifice? He didn't call upon you to go out and kill a lamb and to shed the blood and to sprinkle it over the altar. He asked you to come in with your voice and with your lips, giving thanksgiving unto his name, singing praises unto his name. It's a sacrifice. To pray to him, that's communion with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how we communicate with our Father. How often do you talk to your Father? You know, you can call your Father up on the earth, Father, but the Bible tells us to call no man Father above our Heavenly Father. He is truly our Father. He is the one that will never leave us. He's the one that's always there. He's the only one that can help us or deliver us. How often do you talk to your Heavenly Father? We're asked to make this sacrifice of singing praises in his name. We think sometimes that our singing's not beautiful, that singing's for other folks. But it's a sacrifice unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not to one another. It's not to me. When we don't sing and we don't pour out our heart, we're not willing to make a sacrifice unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what that really means right there. That's all he asked. He was a simple man with simple ways. He didn't say, those with the great, grand, and glorious gifts of voice that I give you, you sing. He said that singing praises unto his name from the heart is a sacrifice. What more would we want to do in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ than to make a sacrifice? And then we attempt to preach his truth and not water it down. And even when it's out of season, as Paul told Timothy it would be, when God's people become deaf of hearing, slothful of hearing, when they get distracted into the world and the numbers go down, whatever the case may be, Paul had already warned Timothy that those days were coming in Timothy's day. And I think they're coming in our day. He says, you continue to march forward. You hold fast to the faith. He says, you preach the word. You be instant in season and out of season. Don't stop doing what I called upon you to do because others are following in other directions. Our worship service is simple. It's centered around Jesus Christ. And that's all that worship was ever meant to be, was to be centered around the Lord Jesus Christ, to bow down at his feet, to worship his holy and righteous name, to give all the glory and all the praise to him, not to man. You know, church is not about how good I feel. That's one thing we find today. You know, it's the fulfillment of the man, and the man will never be fulfilled. He'll move on to something bigger and better as time goes on. But we're centered around the Lord Jesus Christ. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. I've endured those storms, and I know many of you in this congregation have too. Those storms are hard. And without Jesus Christ, where would we have been? You know, sometimes I look back in the storms that I went through, and I don't know how I got through them. But I realize that if it hadn't been for the hand of Jesus Christ, I wouldn't have. That's just the way it is. I don't have an explanation for moving on. It may have been by an angel that the Lord sent. And it could have been you. It could have been anyone. God works in a mysterious way. But when we look unto the Lord, when we walk with the Lord, when we focus upon the Lord, He has promised to always be there. He didn't say that I will deliver you from every problem you have, but He said, I will give you the grace to endure it. And friends, that's where we are today. We're sitting here. We're trying to do the best that we can to preach, to pray, to sing, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got us to this point. We've all had our struggles, and we've probably not seen our last struggles because the seas are stormy. The winds blow. The winds cease. But that's how life is. It's a journey like a journey across the ocean in a vessel. And who more would you want to have at the helm and to captain your ship than the Lord Jesus Christ? He knows what lies ahead. He knows what you're going to go through in your life because He knows the feelings of your infirmities. He knows when you become down and out. He knows when you become bored. That's human nature. That's where we all are. We all encounter them. None of us are beyond that. We all have those problems. He goes on, and he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? This is some kind of statement that they made to the Lord when you think about it. Carest not thou that we perish? Do you think to begin with that it was possible that that ship would sink with the God of heaven in it? Think about that for a minute. Is it possible that with the Lord Jesus Christ in that ship, that ship could have sank? Is it possible that the Lord didn't know what was going on? Is it possible the disciples didn't know the Lord to the degree that they should have? You see, Jesus Christ is the same in the storm as He is in the calm. There's no difference. Why were the disciples not laying down, sleeping and resting with Christ aboard? Maybe they didn't know Him to the extent they thought they did, or as well as they should have. Maybe we don't either. Christ was down there. He was weary. He was tired from preaching and teaching all day long, and He slept in the hinder part of that ship. The ship was tossed about by the waves and the winds and the water beating up on the side of the ship. Are you resting with Jesus that when the storms of life come and they're beating up on you, that you're not shaking like the disciples? I doubt we'd have done any better than they done. But there's a lesson here, that when Jesus is with you, you're not to fear anything. David said, although I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. That's a daily walk that we need to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because great winds are out there, and they're going to blow up in our life. These great storms are going to come in our life. They're going to beat upon us. They're going to wear us down. They're going to bring us into anxiety and into stress and into all kinds of struggle. But Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus knew the problems. He wasn't unaware of this situation. But our God is the God during the storm. He's the God during the calm. You know, it's one thing to profess that you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is who you say He is, to trust in Him when the sailing is on smooth, calm water, is it not? Far different than when the storms begin to rise around you to live out and to prove that great power that the Lord has in your life. You know, every one of us are going to face those storms, those trials. And that's exactly what these disciples were. And He arose and He rebuked the wind. Now this shows how loving and how compassionate our Heavenly Father is. You know, He didn't jump up out of that ship and rebuke them, did He? For not having the faith that they should have. For not trusting Him the way that they should have. He took care of the consequences that brought great fear into their life, didn't He? He rebuked the wind, and immediately the sea was calm like glass. What is the lesson for you and I in that? When the storms come, we call upon the name of Jesus Christ. He's the one that eases our pain, our suffering, our flight of affliction and fear that comes to us so often. But it's not something that we just grab hold of as soon as something comes when we're never walking with the Lord during our life. That's a lesson that I've learned. I tell you, we need to walk with the Lord every day of our life. We need to wake up with Him. We need to go to bed with Him because it's all about Jesus. Jesus created the heavens and the earth, and now He's riding this ship. that's being beaten up and down by this great wind and this great storm. And he's still asleep. He's calm. Because he's the same in the storm as he is in the calm. And that's where we need Jesus in our life. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, "Peace, be still." I preached many times, and I'll continue to preach, that if you ever have peace in your life, it'll only come from Jesus Christ. You may think you have peace. You may think your neighbor's giving you peace or your family gives you peace, but real peace can only come from Jesus Christ. And that peace allows you to weather the storms, to be calm in the flight of great affliction. It doesn't mean that you don't have any scars. Yeah, we all have battle scars. We all walk through life, and these troubles, they take a toll on us. But we're on our way to Canaan's land. We're crossing the stormy seas, and one day we're going to land in a place of eternal rest where change will never take place. That should be the driving thought in our lives, not the problems that we face today. Jesus will help us through those problems, whatever they are. Trust in him with all your heart. Don't try to understand what's going on in your life or someone else's life. Lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Acknowledge him in all that you do. And he will guide your ship through the stormy seas. He will give you peace when nothing else will give you peace. He will give you calm when no one else is calm. And the only way is if you have that kind of fellowship and communion with the Lord that we ought to have. And they said unto him, and he said unto them, excuse me, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" They had no faith because of unbelief. You see, faith is centered and focuses upon God and not circumstances. But you notice here, they were focused upon the circumstances, and in the hinder part of that ship was the God of all creation. Isn't that an amazing thing? They were in a storm, in a great storm, and the God who had created the heavens and the earth, who had breathed life into their nostrils, and they become living souls, lie in that boat asleep, fully aware of what was going on. And in his deity, he rose and rebuked the wind, and immediate calm came. It's the only way that you and I can have calm in our lives is when the Lord gives us that peace and that calm. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" I find that statement very interesting. The disciples had seen the miracles that Jesus had done time and time again. They seen him raise the dead to life. And yet, because of the circumstances they were in and the fear that had come upon them, they marveled at what Christ did. That tells me they didn't know him the way they should have known him. And maybe you and I don't know him the way that we should know him. How are you, brother, sister, or friend, when the storms of life come upon you? They're coming. The one thing that I can promise to you is if you've not been in a great wind and seen a great storm in your life, it's very likely to come. But the only way to get through that storm and to deal with it with peace and calm is to have constant fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. To go across this journey with Christ, not try to do it on your own. So many of us have that thought in our minds, "Well, I don't need any help. I can go this alone. I'm going to do everything on my own in life." But I tell you, we need the Lord's help in everything that we do. Not just in our spiritual journey, but in our natural journey. For it's in him that we live, move, and have our being. It's in him that we have hope. We are pilgrims and strangers upon the earth. No matter how attached to your family or to the earth or to your home or whatever you have, you're not here long. Me and Brother Stephen was talking this morning. He's telling me about how many of them were gone from time he had pastored the church in Bel Air, Maryland. He did it with 16 to 20, not in the picture anymore. It's just part of life. It's just the journey that we continue on. We're not here long. We're here today and likely gone tomorrow. Even at 80 years or 100, it's just not very long. Our time draweth nigh upon the earth. We are pilgrims and strangers, and we need the Lord with us through this journey. Because one day we're going to be in his presence forever. Our place will be a place of eternal rest where there will be no change. There will be no great storms come upon us in heaven. It's here that the great storms come, sometimes because of our own sin, but it's part of the journey that we have here in this life, and we need to walk through this life hand in hand with the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you for your good attention. May God bless you. This is my prayer this morning.